Hi, this is Jean-Jacques Taylor, and you're listening to Jot Talk. This is a podcast where I talk about the Cowboys, the team I've covered as a beat writer, columnist, TV insider, and radio host for 28 years. I'll also talk about the NFL and the things I love, working out, streaming, food, and all things Dallas. My boy Big Joe and the Big Rig, one of my oldest friends, produces the show and occasionally chimes in with his thoughts on the Cowboys. After all, he's a lifelong Cowboys fan, and he played high school, college, and semi-pro football. Welcome to Jot Talk, where sports is fluid. What's true today might not be true an hour, a day, or a month from now. I'm going to give you the truth straight. No chaser. Glad to have you aboard. Let's get it. Welcome to episode 82 again, my friends. We had some technical difficulties last week, as many of you know, so we couldn't get it. It was a long story. Had to do with my apartment and the internet going down and my hotspot not working properly. Oh, it was a disaster. But here we are today. What doesn't kill you, as they say, only makes you stronger. I'm Jean-Jacques Taylor, joined by my boy Big Joe and the Big Rig for episode 82. Who comes to mind, bro, now that you had a week to think about it?
Well, first of all, we are, the light is red and we are 5x5. How about that?
You know what? I like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to make damn sure. All right, then. We good. Jason Witten. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to go back to Jason. Right, Jason Witten. See, I was saying Mike Renfro the other day. And then jump straight over Jason Witten. But how about that? Jason Witten.
Yeah.
Number 82.
Jason Witten makes sense.
Yeah, all time.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I'm feeling weird today because, and I'm not sure how this is going to work out. Okay, don't judge me. I'm that person that wears my contacts 10 times longer than you're supposed to wear. So about 6 weeks ago, I decided to give my eyes a rest for no reason other than, hey, Taylor, you've had these in long enough. Go just take my eyes a rest because my glasses are perfectly fine. But I realized because I wear them so long, I've had them a long time. Somehow, I promise you this is the truth. I ended up because I had a pair left, and so I was okay. When I went to check the pair, dog asked me why do I have three right contacts and no lefts?
Because I can explain that. As a former
explain it to me, because I don't understand contact, why I got three rights.
As a former contact user, notice I said former. Sometimes you just change one. That's it.
I never changed one.
Well,
that's why I can't explain it. I always change them two at a time. And I got an astigmatism in my left eye, so my left contact is much thicker and bigger than my right one. You can't even confuse them.
How old is the prescription?
That's probably 2 years old.
So you might have had check the dates on the contacts. They might be different dates where you've had prescriptions and had some left over.
I don't know. So here's the point.
Wait, I thought you got LASIK and you didn't have to wear all that stuff.
No. I got LASIK 25 years ago.
So it don't last like that. It changes.
Tell you when you get it, it's not a lifetime deal.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But, I mean, it's...
Now we know.
It still works pretty good.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, if I don't have my glasses in, I could drive around Dallas during the daylight, no problem. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't feel unsafe doing it. I thought I could do it at night until about a year ago. And I didn't really, you know, you don't realize these things till you realize them. I couldn't... my depth perception at night is not any good without my glasses or my contacts in. Mm-hmm. So I started wearing my glasses at night when I was driving. Then I was perfectly fine.
Gotcha.
But the point of this story was I went to go get an eye exam the other day, and I went to a different doctor for the first time just out of convenience because, you know, everybody, you know, I went to the Costco because I just wanted an exam, a new prescription, and, you know, boom, 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 go. Well, dude, she asked me an interesting question I couldn't answer. She said, did you have bifocal lenses? Did you have separate lenses where one eye was one thing and one eye was the other thing? Or did you have something else? And I told her what I just told you. Well, one eye was different than the other, so I think I had separate. I don't know that that's what I had, man, because this thing I got, I could kind of see, but it's a little blurry out of one eye. And the biggest thing is I got ready to do some work on my iPad yesterday, and I couldn't see. And so I was like trying to hold one eye open to see if I hold this eye open, can I see the screen? Or is it this eye open that I see the screen? or is it neither? And so I was like, okay, I got to go back and see her on Monday and be like, this is not quite right. We need to fix this. So as I'm looking at my notes, it'll be interesting to see if I can read them consistently. That was my whole point. And that, and you don't realize how much you use your eyes until you can't see. How
about Roger that.
Hey, I just want you to know.
Part of getting old.
Hey, yeah, I guess. That and going to pee 6 times a night. But hey, I was out on the streets, but I did not need to use Grinning Law. Although, if you out on the streets, whether you can see or not, and you get hit by somebody, car, 18-wheeler, and somebody else's negligence has caused you some issue, what you need to do, what you must do, what you have to do, seriously, is pick up the phone and call 972-934-8900. I like to tell y'all, put it in your phone right now so that when you need it, you got it. You ain't got to look for it. So, again, if anything happens to your friends, your loved ones, they're involved in an accident, 972-934-8900 is the number to call. And you simply, when they pick up, you simply say, hey, here's my situation. Here's the details. And I'm telling you, if they bring you on as a client, it's been a fantastic day for you. Real talk, fantastic day for you. Because Grinning Law is going to handle every single solitary thing related to your case. Why? They want you focused on two things, healing and renewal. That's it. They want you to get your mind right and get your body right so you can get your life back. That's what they want you focused on. So, if you need a doctor, they'll set up an appointment. All you got to do is show up. If you need a specialist, they'll find a doctor, set up an appointment again. All you got to do is show up. It don't get no easier than that. And here's the best thing they do. They walk you through this entire process. And if you haven't been through this process before, it can be long and intimidating and scary and frustrating. All those things, all those different emotions come up because why? Somebody else's negligence has caused you some harm, messed your life up. And you're asking for them to compensate you for that difficulties. And so Grinning Law takes care of that. Why? Because they want you focused on healing and renewal. Get your mind right, get your body right, and get your life back. It's really that simple. The call is free. You hear that? Don't cost you nothing to pick up the phone and say, hey, here's my situation. What do you think? And then the best part to me, outside of the call being free, they don't get paid till you get paid. So you don't have to wonder, where do I fit on the priority list? Am I their most important client? The answer is yes, because they don't receive any funds unless you receive some funds. So Grinning Law, 972-934-8900 is the place to call. If you're ever involved in an accident, somebody else's negligence, medical malpractice, any of that stuff, you were injured at someone else's workplace, any of that, you need some help, call Grinning Law, let them help you. Dog, Tyron Smith to the Jets. 1 year, $6.5 million guaranteed, up to $13.5 million in incentives. A deal like that, are you surprised the Dallas Cowboys didn't try to jump on it?
I'm thinking they didn't want to jump on it. I'm thinking I'm surprised. I mean, he couldn't play for that here? What happened? They just didn't want him? Or what? What's going on?
They just decided. Now, I haven't talked to anybody since this deal went down the other day. Went down Friday night, I believe. I think they just decided to move on. I think they decided Tyron Smith is terrific when he plays. He has missed at least 3 games every year since 2016.
Okay.
That's a lot of games. And since this is the thing I think that probably sealed the deal for the Cowboys. And you don't really realize it until somebody mentions it to you. And it's this. Tyron Smith, in the last 4 years, and I said the last 4 years, why? Because that's how long Mike McCarthy has been here. Tyron Smith has been here. I mean, during the 4 years that Mike McCarthy has been here, Tyron Smith has played 2, 11, 4, and 13 games. For y'all doing math at home, he's played 30 out of 64 regular season games. Or I guess it's 66 in the last 2 years. And I think they just decided, as good as he is, he's just unreliable because of injury. And so as he gets older, old players get hurt more often and take longer to heal. We had to adjust his practice schedule to once a week just to get him on the field. It's probably best for us to move on. This is a great draft for tackles. We can take one in the first round, have a guy with a low cap figure, keep Tyler Smith at left guard, or we can always kick Tyler Smith out to tackle, you know, find a guard somewhere else and use that first round pick on another position. I just think that they decided it was time to move on after a great career in Dallas.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, that's what you want to do. But it's going to be a long-ass season if you don't get somebody that can replace him and do half the job he did. Jack going to be running for his life. You know, especially if Terrence Steele play like he did this year.
I don't think he's an option at left tackle.
No, he's not. I'm saying if he plays right tackle like he played this year and we got a new left tackle on the other side that ain't getting it done, oh, no, it's going to be like a 0.5 step drop, get rid of the ball. You see what I'm saying?
Now, Clarence Hill criticizes me for this. But I'm going to just put this out there. They seem to know how to draft offensive linemen in the first round. I was one of those who said, what the hell are you doing drafting Tyler Smith? He led to college football in holding penalties. He went to Tulsa. That ain't no big-time program. What are y'all doing? And all that dude is come in and just start pounding people.
Travis Frederick. I wanted him to draft a safety out of LSU. I can't remember his name.
He was all right.
He was all right, yeah.
And then throw in there Zach Martin.
Yeah.
So when they take him in the first round, they seem to do a good job of picking players who not only play well off the rip.
What was Connor Williams? He was second.
Connor Williams was a second round pick. McGovern was a third round pick. And here's what you can say about those guys. Let's not get it twisted. Those guys started in Dallas.
Yep.
And then got contracts right away on other teams, just like Biadasz. And they're going to play at least 8 years in the league.
Well, Connor Williams became a pretty good center.
Yeah. My point to that is when the average NFL career is 3 years, they're drafting guys, whether they play in Dallas or not, who are getting 8 years, 10 years in the league on the offensive line. So they seem to be able to draft well. Now, they don't need this to be the year that they don't. It's like last year's draft class right now is awful. But they'd had a string of 4 or 5 drafts in a row, and we'll talk about the 2018 draft in just a minute. They were terrific. So, you know, at that point, what do you say? There is no perfect science. There is no perfect – every team has bad drafts. Every team has bad picks. Every team. Cowboys really do it better than most. And given all the holes they got on their roster this year, this is going to be a year where they can't be missed. What's your memory of Tyron Smith? Or what's his legacy?
That you never heard his name. His name was never called during the game.
Yeah.
You never had no problem. You know what I'm saying? The offensive line is bad when you get your name called, right? Especially the announcer's going to say, great block by Tyron Smith. Every now and then they're going to pick that up. But when you start going holding, number 52, you go, Connor Williams again? Damn. Well, you didn't hear that from 77. 77 quietly and strength. You know, he had strength. He was quiet over there. He locked them hands on you and put you down. You never had a problem with the left side. Never.
No. To me, he's a Hall of Fame player.
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how long it takes him to get into the Hall of Fame because he played tackle. But when you start looking up at his resume, all those All-Pros, I think he was 6-time first-team, second-team All-Pro. It doesn't really get much better than that. He had injuries, and that'll be the one knock on him. But, you know, when he was healthy, even like last year, he had injuries last year. But when he was healthy, he was locking folks down for the most part.
Tearing them up. Yep.
And don't forget, he came into the league at 20. So he's only 33. It seemed like he like 38, 39. He's only 33. But the game been hard on his neck, on his shoulders, which should surprise nobody playing offensive line. Now, it'll be interesting to see him with the Jets. Aaron Rodgers coming back. He has a big assignment. They're going to need to keep him healthy. It'll be interesting to see if they keep him on that one day a week only practice schedule to keep him healthy. And then the other thing is, dog, I expect he'll play well. He played well when he was healthy this year. I would expect him to play well next year.
No doubt. No doubt.
So the Cowboys now have lost their left tackle. They've lost their center. I don't know if they're going to replace both of those in the draft. And I think this is the problem with the Cowboys. And, you know, Stephen Jones talked the other day and said, hey, we always believe that – now, he's been saying this for years, all right? Talent is a 24-year – what is it? 365-day-a-year proposition. But right now, as it stands, they've lost Tony Pollard, starting running back, Dorrance Armstrong, key rotation player in the defensive end. Started quite a bit, too. Tyler Biadasz, the starting center, Dante Fowler, key reserve, Neville Gallimore. I have to call Neville Gallimore a bust in Dallas. They released Michael Gallup, released Leighton Vander Esch, neither of whom played much last year. Although, Michael Gallup's last game caught 6 passes, more than 100 yards against Green Bay. But he didn't do much during the season for whatever reason we want to come up with. They have signed Eric Kendricks, linebacker. And they signed Jordan Lewis. That was a big signing for them. Makes me think, though, say goodbye to Stephon Gilmore. Because now you can put Bland on one corner, Diggs on the other corner, Jordan Lewis in the slot, and draft a corner or add a lesser corner in free agency. They re-signed C.J. Goodwin, who's strictly a special teams player. And don't forget, dog, they got the long snapper, Trent Sieg, signed to a one-year deal. So how you feel about your Cowboys right now? Understanding that this is only the first phase of the offseason.
Well, you can do you know what? You can go crazy and chase people the first week and spend a lot of money. You can do okay the second week, but you in the first 3 weeks, it feels like you got to do something to replace big holes in your lineup. Now, usually around the time the season starts and all of that stuff, or the back end of free agency, you start plugging in holes that pieces to your team, not really players that's going to be heavy, you know, give you a heavy contribution. You can plug in one or two players that can be good role players and stuff like that. You know, they've been good. Like last year, they found Gilmore and they got Cooks, or they traded for Cooks. I see what he's saying about acquiring talent, but I don't know, man. It's a lot of holes. And like you say, they've been drafting well. And
now, I think the issue is, and you know, I have, you know, before we had our technical difficulties, you know, we were talking to Clarence last week, and he criticized me for seemingly having hope in the Cowboys or faith in the Cowboys. And it's not that I have hope or faith per se. I just judge it on their track record. It seems to me that the last 3 years or so, when they've been 12-5, we've sat around and said, they got a really good roster. And not all those, I mean, and so to me, they do a good job with Will McClay leading the way about putting a roster together. By the time the season starts, they seem to always have, lately, over the last 3 years, they have a good roster going into the season. Now, they might not be a deep roster, which is bad in the NFL where injuries are part of the game. But I just believe that with Will McClay in their pro personnel department. They'll do a good job of drafting. These first three picks this year, though, have got to hit. I don't think you can ever say anything after the fourth round has to hit. You hope, but you can't say it has to. And then they got to go find some help in free agency, bro, to put a roster worthy of competing at the highest level together. What do you think?
Yeah, that's what I was just saying about free agency, is that you can find – they didn't really do anything in the first week and some change. Sometimes you see who cuts who, and you can pick up somebody, you know. Right. But really the heavy hitters are gone. We're going to talk about later some stuff that happens in free agency that always trips me out, how, you know, prices go up, prices go down. You got to kind of wait to see who get what money before you do something. Sometimes you get a discount if the market is set, you know, at the bottom level. And sometimes you got to pay more because the market goes up, which is like the DeAndre Swift and the Tony Pollard. DeAndre Swift don't get that money. Tony Pollard, he don't go to the Bears and get that money. Tony Pollard probably don't get that money. And then Derrick Henry was supposed to set the thing off. But then you got Saquon Barkley getting $12.5 million a year. So, you know, wasn't nobody paying that but the Eagles.
Nah, and this is why, I'm going to say this right quick. This is why when I was in school, man, I used to do almost every major project I had on sports. And my teachers sometimes would get frustrated with me because they go, "You're not supposed to do it. This is not a sports project." I go, "Oh, this is NFL free agency. It's a supply and demand economics project." I would do stuff like that because I love sports so much. I would always try to find a way to put my projects into sports terms. I remember one time teacher tried to yell at me. I had to do a business story at Ohio State, and I came back with a story about financing the baseball field. And she was like, "I told you not to do a sports story." I said, "Dr. Cook, this is not a sports story. This is a financial story. Or you can call it an economic story, but it's not a sports story. I'm just showing you the range that sports reporters have." And to that, she got mad, dog, and wouldn't accept it. That being said, let's shift to that topic. Justin Fields, to me, was the big name out there. He goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, they signed Russell Wilson last week. He goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers for a sixth-round pick. Now, you got to understand, Justin Fields, to be acquired, I believe they swapped first-round picks, gave up another first-round pick and a second to move up to get Justin Fields. And then 3 years later, he gets traded to Pittsburgh for a sixth-round pick. Dude, Kenny Pickett, first-round pick from Pittsburgh 2 years ago, he got traded to Philadelphia for a sixth-round pick. Apparently, the Bears had the same offer from Philadelphia, but shipped Jalen to Pittsburgh because he'd have a better chance to play, or he might have a better future in Pittsburgh. Since even with Russell Wilson, this whole situation is still kind of up in the air. So that was their way of doing him a solid. But are you surprised that that's all they could get for Justin Fields?
Yeah, I'm surprised and I'm not surprised, because I thought the reason he was still in Chicago because the asking price was too high. And then everybody started shipping people out for the sixth-round pick. Who went first? You called it last week when Mac Jones went. You called it last week when you said Mac Jones went for a sixth round. That's right, he went for a sixth, right? And he used to be a former first round pick. And you said, "Hey, if Mac Brown going for sixth round, what's the market on Justin Fields?" Well, we just found out, didn't we? You know, Kenny Pickett. Well, I think it's a domino effect. When Denver cut Russell, and they still on the hook for $37 million or whatever, and he goes to Pittsburgh for $1.2 million or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you can get rid of Kenny Pickett. You can absorb Kenny Pickett's salary. You can get rid of his ass because he don't want to be there. And then there's a first round pick. There's your second first round pick for for a 6-round pick, and the Bears was like, oh, hell, we ain't going to get no third, and we ain't going to get no fourth. You know what I'm saying? He was like, well, hell, the gig is up, you know, and the Sheik is gone. Let's go and get him. Let's go and get him up out of here. Where do you want to go, Justin? You know, and you draft that guy, probably. Give up all that capital. You give up all that capital for him, and you don't have a damn plan. And he switches coordinators and all of that other stuff. It just reminds me of what's my man, Anthony Richardson, who went to the Colts, and they had a damn plan, and he looked pretty good. Because I didn't think he was going to be that good because he was kind of erratic at Florida, but he looked pretty good when he played. And that's an organization with a plan for him. And Justin just kind of got kicked down the road between coach to coach.
You know, this is what I tried to tell my friend several weeks ago when I was saying it matters who drafts you when you get to the league. Because a lot of these guys have very similar talent.
Oh, you talking about the round conversation we had with what's his name?
With Clarence Hill Jr.?
Yeah, I was going to let you say
it. No, but, yeah. And he was saying, no, Pat Mahomes would be great wherever he went. And I just don't believe that's the case. He would have been good probably wherever he went, or he'd have been really functional wherever he went, but to be good or to be great, most of the time,
all time,
it
great.
Requires the quarterback to have great talent. That's number one. Then you got to go to a team that typically has a great offensive coordinator or a great coach to help bring out that great talent that you have. And then you need to go to an organization that will make the moves to put that talent around you so that your greatness can shine.
Yep.
And when you have all three of those components, you end up with Pat Mahomes and Troy Aikman and Terry Bradshaw and
Aaron Rodgers.
Pick some other people.
Aaron Rodgers. Yep.
And the list goes on. When you don't have that group, you can have guys who have great talent or get drafted very high, and you'd be like, why does that guy suck? What's wrong with that guy? Sometimes it's him, but sometimes it's just like, I don't know. And, you know, Joe likes to use the example of David Carr. Down in Carolina, I don't know that we'll ever know if Bryce can really play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He might be like...
We might not ever know.
You know, Bryce might be closer to Alex Smith. You know, Alex Smith, by the time he started getting good, you know, in San Francisco, he was beat up. And then he lost his job, and he turned out to be a good pro. You know what I'm saying? No, by no means was he a bust, but he turned out to be good. But
he was a solid NFL quarterback.
Yes, he was. So, but I'm saying if you draft Aaron Rodgers there instead of him, maybe Aaron Rodgers is still good, but he ain't Aaron Rodgers, you know, because Aaron Rodgers fell into a whole team ready for him to play.
Let me tell you who we about to find out about. You know, because you can use that conversation with Kyler Murray. But I think we about to find out about it with Joe Burrow. Meaning Joe Burrow has talent, clearly. I think his coach knows what he's doing. But now you run up with an organization that has been notoriously cheap over the years, the Cincinnati Bengals. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, the Bengals for decades. Now, I'm not exaggerating this. Have had, like, the smallest scouting department in the league. They're notoriously cheap. One of the reasons, I'm finna give you this shit that Joe loves so much. One of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons the Cowboys became a renegade franchise 30 years ago is this. The NFL had a policy where all 32 teams split the marketing revenue equally. I sell 100 sweatshirts, you sell 10 sweatshirts, we still get $100 a piece. Jerry Jones walked in and said, why is that? And one of the franchises he talked about was Cincinnati. He said, Cincinnati, they don't do a whole lot. Why are we splitting the same thing with them? And the NFL said, because it's equitable. There's 32 people in here. And Jerry said, you know what? I love y'all. Y'all split that thing 31 ways. We going over here by ourselves. Well, nah, y'all gonna do it. No. Hey, Mr. Commissioner, we love y'all. We love the league. We'll go to court if we need to. We're gonna do our own thing over here. We don't want none of your marketing money. And guess what? Y'all don't take none of ours. And we see where that's gone.
Yep. Stadium naming rights, for one.
Right.
Yep.
That's where it started.
That was Jerry right there all day.
That was Jerry. Now everybody does it now.
Yep.
But he really wanted his own merchandising thing, his own licensing thing. Because I'm a marketer. I can build my brand better than you can build yours. And here's the thing he used to say, or he said quite often. We are very aggressive. We hustle. Y'all don't even try. Because you satisfied with what you get from the league. So you don't even try. I don't want to be partners with people that don't try. So what I'm saying is now, bring it back full force. So we got Joe Burrow. What has Cincinnati had? They've had a great collection of receivers since he showed up, or a really good collection of receivers since he showed up.
They're pretty good. T. Higgins, Jamar Chase.
Right. Chase.
Boyd.
Right. That's the identity of your team. It's Joe Burrow throwing to Chase and Higgins and Boyd, and then mixing it up with Mixon.
Yep.
That's how you got to the Super Bowl. So now it's, we're about to find out because we don't know the answer yet. But now T. Higgins, hey, he's been franchised. Y'all can trade. We can trade him, do whatever, whatever. Well, if he goes, Mixon's already been released. You replaced him with Zach Moss. So hopefully he can fill that void. But what I'm saying is if Joe Burrow is the focal point of your team, yes, he makes a bunch of money like all quarterbacks. You got to continue to get to surround him with those receivers so he can do what he do best. Otherwise, you're wasting that $50 million asset. And that's what these teams that draft these quarterbacks high, like they did with the Bears, and don't give Justin Fields no assets and then give him a rookie coordinator. I mean, you ain't doing that dude no service. It's like we talked last week with Mac Jones. How the hell you put Joe Judge, a special teams coach, and Matt Patricia, a defensive coach, in charge of your what's supposed to be your first-round franchise quarterback? Like Bill Belichick, have you lost your mind? Like, you'll never get the answer to this, though. But you would love to just, like, be homeboys. Like, you'd like to be Bill Parcells and be like, Bill, what was you doing with that, dog? Why you do that? And get a real answer for what made him think was going to work.
You say, it's just offense. It's no big deal. Those guys can handle it.
Bro.
That's what he was saying.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's how he talking. It's just offense. Don't worry.
So the quarterback carousel has been very interesting to me. What do you think Kirk Cousins is going to do in Atlanta?
Be Kirk Cousins. Be steady. Help Atlanta get to the playoffs, and you don't know what after that. You know, maybe they get to the divisional. The division is not that strong, so he should. They might win division. They might win division with some good play out of him. The Kirk is good. He just, I don't know. He fall into the Dak category, you know, which pissed Dak off because evidently Amari Cooper called him Dak Cousins. That's what I heard. That's what I read somewhere. But, you know, you fall into that.
Hey,
I'm good, but I ain't great. You know, I'm very good, but I ain't great. And for some reason, we ain't win a lot of games. Somebody said, I think I read somewhere that fool gonna get away with $329 million in his career.
Now he getting more than that. I think he like 414. By the time it's all said,
414 before it's over and done. There you go.
I think Tom Brady had 300 and something.
Goodness.
And you know why Kirk got that money? Very short story. Kirk got that money for the exact same reason Dak is going to end up in that same conversation. Is the teams, when he was a free agent after his rookie deal was up, because remember, they were both fourth-round picks. So they don't have, you can't give them that fifth-year option. You got to go give them a contract at that point. Well, Washington with Kirk did the same thing Dallas did with Dak. They didn't truly believe in him, so they franchised him. And then once he played good on the first franchise tag, they were like, well, damn, now he's set up for a big payday. And we don't want to do that. So they franchised him again, and he played good again.
Yep.
And then it was like, screw y'all. And then he went to Minnesota, which needed a quarterback. They thought they had everything built around. All they lacked was a quarterback. Yeah, we'll give you a guaranteed deal. All fully guaranteed. Okay, now, but they gave it was like 3 years. So when he played good or well enough, damn, 3-year contract, you got to start negotiating the next one after two. So he got another big deal. The same thing's going with Dak. He bet on himself. He played well. And then he had the team over Barrow. And now, so that's how Dak is going to end up with $400 million by the time he retires. And that's how Kirk Cousins is going to end up with more than $400 million after he retires. If you got a quarterback, but I just changed my mind in mid-thought because, I don't know. You need to pay him early, but you have to make sure you got the guy. Like, nobody thought Daniel Jones was the guy except the Giants. There was no need to pay that dude early. He's a classic dude. We'll franchise you, and if you show up, then you show up, and we'll bite the bullet and pay you. But they jumped out there and paid him instead of Saquon, and now they're looking stupid because they don't want either one of them now. The other big news, man, if you call it big news, Sam Darnold to Minnesota.
Ooh-wee.
That makes me, this is what I think.
Ooh-wee.
And I'm not breaking news here. They also acquired an additional first round pick last week from Minnesota. From New England. I think Minnesota's going to try to package that 11 that they got and that 23 that they got from New England with something else, perhaps a first round from next year, and move up and take one of them quarterbacks.
Okay, because Sam Darnold.
I think they're trying to go up to.
Justin Jefferson was like
trying to go
to
number three.
Okay. I see you.
And get Drake May. And then that way Sam Darnold can be your quarterback for the first 8 games until he plays so poorly that you put Drake May in.
Yeah, and he going to play poorly, though. Is Justin Jefferson going to be alligator? He going to be alligator arm and all them passes. Boy, Justin, don't nobody run 3-stage routes like Justin Jefferson. Out, up, in, up. The quarterback got to hang in there. If you ever watch the Netflix special on about quarterbacks, you see that Kirk Cousins is one tough son of a gun because that offense made him hold the ball. And Kirk, Justin Jefferson gets open, but you see how he gets open because Kirk holds that ball like Troy Aikman used to hold that ball, and he takes that shot. And Sam Darnold is not going to do that, sir.
No, man.
He's not going to do none of that.
The only other starter, I think, well, let's dip down here because we didn't talk about it because of our technical difficulties last week. Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh now being backed up by Justin Fields. I think Pittsburgh got a really good quarterback situation in terms of being functional and having options, and injuries shouldn't hurt them because they can bring Justin Fields in. And I like with Arthur Smith, they're going to be a run team and not ask the quarterback to do too much. How do you think your boy fits in Pittsburgh?
I'm not surprised he went to Pittsburgh. You know why? Because Mike Tomlin is for the culture, dog. He gonna take it. You know what, dog? Come on in. Come on over here and work with me. Byron Leftwich, what's Brian Flores, Michael Vick. You in trouble?
Who's our old school quarterback from Eastern Michigan?
Charlie Batch.
Charlie Batch was up there for a minute, too.
Yeah. See how that Rolodex just hit you like that? Charlie Batch. I got you covered, though. Number 10. There you go. He got you, dog. Let's go. Come on in here where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? Russell going to get a good chance to be Russell and not have to be Russell and do certain things. And, we'll see. I'm hoping. But the Josh Fields deal, when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay. All right, then. If you ain't wanted nowhere else, you're going to be wanted in Pittsburgh. He got you. Brian Flores was toxic. He was toxic. And Mike said, come on over here, dog. I got you, man. Come on. You get whatever you need to do, you can buy the donuts or serve the coffee or turn on the projector. I don't give a shit. Come on. You can work for me.
Yeah.
Now he got another job.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that. It's for the culture. That's it. It is what it is. And that's what Russ, Russ already up at time to do a damn slogan talking about, here we go. Boy, if you don't shut up. Hey, Pittsburgh Steelers fan, here we go. Dog, no, dog. You just can you just play football, man, and go home to Sierra, man? It's all good.
Yeah, you know, it's it ain't all that good. Complicated, man.
It's all good. Yeah, so, yeah, you know, I think the expectations are where they need to be with him, maybe, for now. Because, you know, people giving them grief. I don't know if Russ was as bad as they say he was, but I think they expected too much, and they gave him too much. And, you know, what they do, but with high expectation. You know, lower your
expectations. Sean Payton didn't like him for whatever reason.
No, he didn't like him at all. You know. Yeah.
And so what happens is, and I know this for a fact, and Sean is one of my guys. But what happens is Sean has been around so long, he has relationships with a bunch of national reporters. And so when them cats come into town and ask about Russell, and he take a big dump on them, whether he puts his name behind the quotes or not, then what is the national perception of Russell? It's that he can't play. And then if he has a bad game, and every quarterback does at his age, except maybe Brady, and even Brady had a couple, then, you know, it just, you know, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. And you just look worse and worse and worse and worse. You know,
I see that.
Help that they got beat 70 to something.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah, Russell gave all them points up to the Dolphins. Yeah. No, I agree with you.
I
understand what you're saying. I like the way you phrase that. So the perception is what, sometimes the perception, it don't become reality, but it sure look like it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. Exactly. I get that.
Exactly.
So he got a chance to change that. Like I say, he's still Russell Wilson, so there are some expectations for him in Pittsburgh. But after the way he looked last year, or the way he was perceived last year, he's going to be better than whatever they had. And then you got a young Justin Fields behind him. So, hey, what's up? See, Mike does have a quick hook sometime. He will pull your ass out the game. He didn't pull Ben. He didn't pull Ben. But you know, he had a quick hook with them quarterbacks. Mason Rudolph and all them scrubs that he had, he was yanking them. And boy, Kenny Pickett was the native son and all of that. Way up out of there.
That's a classic example of, you know, we need a quarterback. Let's roll the dice and see
we hope this guy is it. Oh, yeah.
That's a quarterback look. Jacoby Brissett is the last one we'll rap about real quick. He's going to New England. And somebody said something interesting about Jacoby Brissett this week. I think it was Mina Kimes on ESPN. And she was like, all Jacoby Brissett does is play pretty well when he gets an opportunity, but nobody gives him a long-term opportunity. And so I was like, let me look him up. Jacoby Brissett, check this out, dog. For whatever it's worth, whether you agree or disagree, he's 18 and 30 as a starter. But he got 51 TDs and 23 picks. So I don't really know what that means.
It means that he plays well individually.
But his team ain't no good.
His team's, yeah. He done started for the Colts. He done started for some kind of wobbly-ass Colts. He started for New England when they was pretty good, when he was new. But he's played with the Browns. So to me, that I think the same thing about Jacoby. Jacoby is a good pro. Maybe Brian Hoyer. Maybe in that range right there. Okay. Brian was good, but he was never the guy. You know. Maybe he like Ryan Fitzpatrick. He'll give you something. You know, but he ain't gonna be the guy again. So I don't know.
All right. Well, he's, you know, Jacoby Brissett's going to be the starter, at least for a little while, probably in New England, maybe the first half of the season until the, let me see, because word on the street is, they've already traded their pick, so let me see. No, word on the street is they're going to trade their pick and try to move back. And so something I read this week said maybe New England would try to get Penix at the top of the second round. Trade back into the back of the first round and get Penix if they give up those picks to the Patriots. I mean, you know, if they trade out of the number three hole. So we'll see what they do. But Jacoby Brissett is right now slotted to be their starter. This will be his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th team in 5 years. That tells me that he's a smart guy because he's learning a different offense every year. And that he's valued around the league because everybody seems to, hey, this is a good guy to have on my team. And he's 6'4", 235. I didn't realize he was that big.
Yeah, big dude. Came out of Maryland. Yeah. Yeah. At least he gets to training camp. Josh Dobbs be playing a whole different, on three different teams. He don't never make the damn training camp. He come off the street and learn the offense, you know. He did that with two teams last year.
Hell yeah.
And then he did it with Tennessee the year before. So at least Jacoby merits a damn contract and an invite to training camp, not let alone a starting job. But I think he got good character. He's a smart guy, and he going back home to where he started. And that organization, coaches in that organization really liked him. They liked him better than Jimmy G.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just discovered that he shares a birthday with my son, so he might not be too bad. I might just start rooting for him. So let's move on to the block, Doc.
To the block.
Well, I want to make sure we get into this first before I put my other stuff in on the back end. We had a good conversation. We had scheduled to have a good conversation about the little things in life that make you smile. And I was going to say the little thing for me, y'all know how much I enjoy cooking, and I do have a recipe for y'all this week. But dog, last week, don't laugh, man. This is a true story. I said, oh, I think I want an apple for a snack. I am that guy who somehow I can't just bite into an apple and eat it. I got to slice it up. I don't know why. I just like it better sliced. It tastes better. Dog, I tried to cut the apple. My damn knife wouldn't cut. And I said, you know, Jacques, this is ridiculous. I'm talking about a butcher knife, dog. Like, I pulled it out the block, and I had to press down like it was super duper hard to cut. And at that moment, I said, you know what, man? For somebody who likes to cook, you've been trying to cook with these raggedy-ass knives for like 7, 8, 9 months. Go buy some quality knives. So, dog, at that moment, I finished cutting my apple. Took longer than it should have. I got on Amazon, and I ordered me the old-school Ginsu knives that we used to see on the late-night commercials all the time. And they had them on sale. They was usually about $149, $159. And they had them on sale for $79, I think. So I grabbed those. They showed up in a day. 2 days, maybe. And let me tell you, I've been cutting everything. I got sliced and diced onions in the refrigerator. I got everything cut up, man. Because I got some damn knives that work.
Yeah.
I've been calling people. Hey, y'all need me to come over and cut something for you?
Damn.
Dog, I cut through some frozen ground beef yesterday. Yeah. Cut that package in half. I was like, I am that man right now.
Yeah, you are cutting food right now. You need me
to swing out to Crowley, cut something for you? I'm good.
Nah, I'm good. I'm very surprised that you had dull knives because I know how much food that you, how much prep you do and how much cooking you do. Because the first thing I thought was maybe your knives was some years old. But you said 6 or 7 months.
Just bought
you know,
a cheap set.
Just bought, yeah. You got to have some good knives.
I'm like a lot of people. You just be like, I just don't want to. It just seems dumb to spend $150 on some knives. They're just knives. Until you can't cut a regular apple without like pushing down and pressing and sawing that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I came back and cut that apple 2 days later.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's what's up. The apple just tastes better.
Yeah.
So it be the little things in life that bring you joy. What's your little thing that ain't so little, man?
I don't know.
It was that thing you was riding around in.
Yeah, cutting grass. I bought a riding lawnmower. It's all good. I bought a zero turn. It's all
good. That
thing
look like a Porsche. What do zero turn mean?
I mean, it'll turn. You don't have to bank it to turn. It's just going to spin. It'll spin in a circle.
Like a military turn?
Nah, it's just zero turn. It just turns. Put it like this. I was in my garage, and I backed it in my garage before I got used to using it, and it just turned a complete circle on its own. Didn't touch nothing. in the circumference of my car. You know, just where my car, my wife's car parked, I just, it just turned around in a circle. So it's a tight circle. It's no.
Now how long does it take you to cut the grass now?
Shit. My backyard.
You use it in the front yard or just the backyard?
I use it in both. The backyard take 5 minutes. I mean, the front yard, small, take 5 minutes. But my backyard usually take about 45, sometime an hour, depending on how fast, how old your ass is. And it took me about 20.
That's a big backyard.
Well, 20.
I got to go back and look at it again. Yeah, I always 20. Walk to the front door. I don't look in the backyard that much.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, I got a 12 by 32 foot patio, but it cover a little bit. But then the backyard is big, but it takes a while to cut it. I don't.
And this was the question I should have asked.
What's that?
Did you have to measure it to make sure that thing would fit through the fence?
Oh, yeah. It's 30.
I mean, before you went and bought it.
Yeah, it's a 30-inch zero turn. The deck sits underneath the mower a little bit, so the mower is actually probably 34. But my gate used to be 33 inches. I got my fence repaired. It's 39 now. So I just drive on through there. And you got to measure. I think the average gate.
I don't be thinking about them things.
I could be wrong, but the average gate could be 33, maybe. I don't know, but I know my gate, my shit is wider. But yeah, I enjoy it. It's all good. It's electric.
I just wanted to. I think that's good. That means you ain't got to go to the gas all day.
You ain't got
to
do no oil.
You just push a button like a car to turn it on. No, that means you ain't got to pull nothing.
No, it's got a key. No, hell no. On zero turn, you ain't got to pull nothing anyway. But no, no. It's just got a key.
I never enjoyed cutting grass, man.
It's
interesting. People typically either enjoy it or they don't enjoy it. There's very few people in the middle.
I'm actually in the middle, but now I'm kind of excited because I was pissed because it started raining the other day. For about a good 15 years, I dreaded it, and that's the ultimate peer pressure. That's the ultimate peer pressure when you laying in your house on the couch and watching some TV, and you hear shit, my next door neighbor cutting that's like, am I going out there? Is my grass gonna look like a mohawk where my neighbor to the right cut it and my neighbor to the left cut and my shit is 2 inches high? No, it don't get
that
long.
Kind of peer pressure on me.
It don't get that long because my wife will go, that grass sure look long back there. All right. I'm out here. So, yeah, it's a little peer pressure. Well, that's the deal with me with the lawnmowers, peer pressure, but. I enjoy the hell out of it. I got that thing Monday. They delivered it Monday. Pulled up, put the crate on the front. And my wife was wigging out because I got on it and I was about to back it off the crate. She was like, that thing going to flip over. I was like, it ain't going to flip over. Be careful, it might flip over. I said, if you keep talking about it, it's going to flip over. How about that? How about you don't put it in the earth and put it out in the atmosphere? It was an 8-inch damn crate. I drove off the side of it. It was fine. It was 8 inches off the ground. And she was worried about it flipping. But, you know, I drove it off of there, drove it around. I had a ball with that thing. So this is a little thing like riding lawnmower. I could have bought like 3 guns, maybe a used motorcycle, about 4 drums. No. 2 good. No. Maybe 4 good drones. See what I'm saying? So it's like, it's going to go into something. But it's like I told you earlier, when you don't buy no guns, when you don't spend no money on no weaponry, you buy a whole lot of shit. Trust me on that.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I just wanted to talk to y'all about that. So just to remind you, it really do be the little things in life, whether it's guns for some people, whether it's a lawnmower, riding lawnmower.
Let's not say guns no more.
Yeah, all right.
Cause my discipline has been good. It's been good, dog. It's been good. I ain't bought nothing. I ain't bought no nothing.
It could be candles, like me and my aromatherapy. I even like fresh sheets, man. If I had unlimited money, I'd probably never sleep on the same sheets twice. I mean, after I've had them on for a week, I'd probably just buy a new set. I like new sheets.
Okay.
But you know, it's all the little things in life. Now, before we get out of here, I gotta give you your workout tip. and meal tip for the week as we continue to work on our summer bodies, or just good health. If you don't want to work on a summer body, just get everything in control so your health is better. Because as I like to say, since I am now closer to 60 than 50, all my workouts are designed so that my quality of life as I get older remains as good as it can be. As my father says, there's no guarantee that working out will extend your life. There's no guarantee that it will. But it typically guarantees that the years that you have will be good. Now, my father don't like me to talk about this, but he usually doesn't listen to the podcast. So he 80. Yeah, he 80. And he work out 3-4 times a week. Got a home gym, goes to the gym on campus because he's still teaching. And that's what he tells me all the time. He says, I do this so that my quality of life is good. And let me tell you, Dad, he can still hit that 3 if you need him to. For real. He like to go play basketball every now and then. He used to play all the time with them college kids, but now he just goes and plays every now and then. That being said, dog, here's my tip for the week, man. If you want to avoid, or if you're trying to lose weight, one of the easiest and hardest things to do is eliminate sugar from your diet. Now, some of y'all are like, well, duh, everybody knows that, man. Let's stop drinking soda. Yeah, soda is, that's kind of basic. Duh, sugar is everywhere. One of the biggest places sugar hides, I call it insidious. Hey, all that good barbecue sauce, ketchup, go check the ingredients on the back and you'll be shocked at the sugar that's in it. If you eliminate that, you are well on your way to a dropping pounds. My boy David, who handles the content for our show, he's dropped 8 pounds in 3 weeks. And he said, yeah, I've been working out, but what I've done is consciously eliminate sugar from my diet. And that's doing the trick and really helping me out. The other thing, I didn't say this was easy for some of y'all. The other thing, alcohol. Stop drinking. Eliminate alcohol from your diet on a regular basis. Eliminate completely, you'll really see some results. Eliminate it on a regular basis and you'll still see results. And if you do want to drink, I recommend vodka because it has very low caloric intake, very low calories, like 100. And then you can drink it with some water or a splash of something and keep your calorie count low. You know, margaritas and daiquiris and all that, liquid sugar. Just so you know, so you can make educated choices. Now, I got a recipe for you this week, dog, and y'all know how I roll. This is good and good for you. Takes about 15 minutes to prepare, because you know I don't really like going over that. What you need is a can of chicken. This is called homemade chicken nuggets. You need a can of chicken. I got mine from Costco. It's 12 and a half ounces, so it's a big can. So you need a can of chicken. You need an eighth of a cup of cheese. You can use some more if you get down like that. I try to keep it low to keep the calories low. 1 egg. All right. Mix all of that in a bowl. Add your seasoning, salt, pepper. I like garlic. I like Tony's Cajun. Gives it just a little bit of kick. Mix it all up. Roll it into balls like meatballs. The egg is what helps hold it together, along with a little bit of that cheese. Helps hold it together. Put it in the air fryer for 12 to 14 minutes at 400. Bam! Okay? Delicious. Now, let me tell y'all something. I say this all the time. It's not going to be as good as a chicken nugget from McDonald's, if that's how you get down. Or a chicken nugget from Chick-fil-A, if that's how you get down. But is it good enough for you to not want that? Hell yeah. Way is healthy enough for you too.
I'm sorry. What are you? I miss what you covering that with. What you rolling it in?
What do you mean?
I'm sorry. I'm talking about. What are you? I'm sorry.
Did you roll it in?
Yeah. I'm like, what are you?
You roll it in your hand like.
No. What are you coating it with?
I ain't coating it with nothing.
Okay. No, I'm not. I just thought I missed that part.
I mean, what you mean?
Like you know, coating, like what are you know, like about? When you put like. When you fry stuff, you usually put like some some breading on it or something.
No.
So you're not breading it at all. But, okay. I thought I missed it. No, but what happens? It sounds good.
What happens is, I'm gonna start doing this maybe today. Is I put this recipe up on the I put that on Twitter, but I also put it somewhere else, maybe the Facebook page or on the YouTube channel, and so you can get a feel for what it looked like. So what happens is when you put it in the air fryer, it gets crispy.
Yeah.
And you know,
sometimes when you air fry stuff, you have to put a little olive oil on it or something to get it to be crisp. You know what I'm saying? To get it to crisp up. That's why I was wondering. Because I heard you say egg and something else. See, I'm doing 99 things sometime when you're talking, but I thought I missed whatever you breaded, but you didn't bread it with nothing. But yeah, I'll check that out when you post it.
No, I just sent you a copy of it so you can see. And the thing I liked about it is it has, and that was a big order. It made 3, 6, 9 good size balls. And it was 306 calories with 53 grams of protein and very few carbs in it.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out when I get through this damn case of egg whites I got.
And so it was delicious. It was great. I made them today for the third day. The first batch was a little shady because I hadn't figured out how to do it yet. The second batch was pretty good, and today's batch was the best one. They looked like meatballs. It looked like chicken nuggets or something that you would look edible. The first one was the kind like when you got an ugly baby, only the parents think it's cute. And so I was like, only I would eat this because it don't look good. It's okay, and it tastes pretty good, but ain't nobody going to look at this and be like, oh, this looks appealing. I just sent the picture. So even if you don't like it, the picture I sent you, Joe, that should look appealing.
All right. I was just thinking, I would never say ugly baby out loud. That's what I was thinking.
Well, no, you just know that the baby ugly.
I don't know. I ain't going to say that.
Hey, if they're ugly adults, they're ugly babies.
Not necessarily.
But the good thing is there's somebody for everybody.
Damn.
There is.
We've all
seen cute couples.
Yeah.
We've all seen ugly people and ugly couples.
I don't know, dogs. Come on,
stop. Who dated ugly people. Hey, how did Janet Jackson get Jermaine Dupri? Okay, let's move it on.
I don't know.
So that's our quick trip around the block brought to you each and every Sunday by the good friends at Smokey John's Barbecue. Smokey John's, home of the jam session bowl. The bowl is a mashed potato and mac and cheese base. Your choice, 2 out of 5 smoked meats. And then all the stuff you find on the loaded baked potato, like bacon bits and chives and sour cream and butter, cheese, all that good stuff, man. Then you either drench it with sauce or drizzle it with sauce, and it is fantastic. It is to live for. But that's the jam session bowl. It is love in your mouth. But it's on the secret menu. So you have to know to ask for it or you'll never find it. You got to ask for it. And then so a lot of times people say, what is that? Where is that on the menu? And you go, if you know, you know. Let me hip you to the game. Just ask for the jam session bowl. I have yet to find anybody who had the jam session bowl and said it wasn't delicious. I just haven't run into that person. So the jam session bowl, it is to live for. It is love in your mouth. Now, if you need some Smokey John's in your life before then, go to the website, SmokeyJohns.com. Click on the marketplace. You can order the sauce or the rib and get it to your crib in 2 or 3 days. Or if you need it immediately in your life, you can go to HEB all over DFW, Burleson, Waxahachie, Frisco, Allen, and it's on the shelves. My boys, Juan and Brent, are doing a damn thing at Smokey John's Barbecue. Maybe we'll get them to add a JJT recipe one day. Huh, I need to talk to them about that. But that's Smokey John's Barbecue, where the food is fantastic. It is to live for. Now, let's roll through one more thing on the Cowboys, man, before we get up out of here. As we mentioned earlier, the Cowboys released Michael Gallup, Leighton Vander Esch over the weekend. That means they no longer have anybody remaining from the 2018 draft class. Now, what do you think about that, man? I thought that was a pretty good class. I thought it was going to be an outstanding class when it started. It ended up okay. But I think the way, I mean, let's go, let me just go through the names first. And let's do it like this. Before we go deep into them, just give me good, bad, or okay. Leighton Vander Esch.
Okay until they switch systems. He was right. Good until they switch systems. That's what got
Connor him. Williams.
Connor Williams, he was bad here, and I don't know why nobody realized he couldn't play center, but he'd been pretty good in Miami.
You know what? Michael Gallup.
Good to the injury. Pretty good player. Not all world, but he was good. He was a pretty good player till his injury. Yeah, he got a new contract. He got a new injury. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is just a quick one. We're going to go in depth in a minute.
Roger that.
Dorrance Armstrong.
Good.
Dalton Schultz.
Good.
Mike White.
Damn. I don't even know him. That's bad if I don't know him.
All right. Now, he just had a minute here, but remember, he played for the Jets for a couple years.
The quarterback, Mike White. Oh, yeah, good pick. Good pick, yeah. That quarterback, Mike White, yeah, he was good with the Jets.
Chris Covington.
Chris Covington. Defensive tackle? From Rice, maybe?
Linebacker.
I don't know. No,
but he's a Capricorn, so he all right. Whatever. Cedric Wilson.
Good.
Bo Scarborough.
He's a good pick, but he didn't last, but he bounced around the NFL, played in the USFL. All right, it's a good pick for where he was taken.
I think you hit the nail on the head. It's a 7-round pick. Mm-hmm. He just now retired. He got 2 years in the league, only got 7 games, but he was on practice squads, and he was in and around the league for a long time, relatively speaking, for a 7-round pick. 95 rushes, 408 yards, 1 touchdown. But he was here. He was in the league. I thought that was a heck of a draft. And here's why. Leighton Vander Esch basically was a starter in Dallas when he was healthy. Connor Williams was a starter. Michael Gallup was a starter. Dorrance Armstrong was a part-time starter, very valuable role player. Dalton Schultz was a starter. Cedric Wilson was a valuable role player. Only guys who really never played. Well, Chris Covington really never played in the league. 6-round pick. Scarborough, we just told you about, bounced around as a 7-round pick. And Mike White. Mike White is on somebody's roster now. I just, let me look him up right quick.
Thought it was the Dolphins.
He was from Western Kentucky via Purdue. Yeah, you're right. He went to Dolphins right now.
Yeah.
He's made 7 starts. 9 TD passes, 13 interceptions. And he probably going to be the kind of guy who is in the league like Cooper Rush, 7, 8, 9 years, just because he's smart, can learn offenses, and he's shown an ability to throw the ball.
Yeah.
And if you could just show people something in the league, like, so if we're down to we can be functional. Yes, okay, we got a spot for you, even if it's as the third quarterback. But I thought that was a pretty good draft, man. You know, Connor Williams started 4 years in Dallas. You get a 4-year starter. I mean, what can you say? He could have been better.
You say Holden, number 52. That's what the hell you kept saying when he's the Holden, number 52. It is Connor Williams again, bear hugging some damn body. Move your feet, boy. What's wrong with you?
I think the problem with him is they never pulled the trigger on him at center. They talked about it. They thought about it. They considered it. They practiced him there a little bit, but they never pulled the trigger on it.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Well, he had his problem was in his problem was in space. You know, he couldn't. Yeah, that's why they said moved him to center. That's why he became a good center. When you play center, you got space, but you got to move. You got to decide to do stuff right now. Stuff the guys on top, they on top of you too quick to get away sometimes.
Yeah, and that's why he was a left tackle at Texas. And he had a first round grade, and they took him in the second round. They were like, oh my God, we got us another first round pick in the second round.
Yep.
But he never developed a guard into anything other than kind of just a guy.
Yep.
But then he got a deal with the Dolphins, and you know, they made him a center, and he's been a good player for them.
Yep.
So it's Michael Gallup. I'm with you. Michael Gallup did whatever they asked him to do in terms of, can you provide the big play threat on the other side? Kind of like a poor man's Alvin Harper. And then he got hurt, and he just wasn't any good after that.
Well, you get a bigger contract, bigger expectations, and you don't fulfill that.
Never gave him that deal.
Yeah, you gone. Yeah.
Like, the deal was too big for his talent. And they did that deal, and this is how the Cowboys be doing, man. They be penny-pinching dudes that they should pay. And then they go, we don't want anybody to criticize us for Amari. So we going to sign Michael Gallup to a big deal like he's a real number two receiver, so people won't be mad that we got rid of Amari. We say, see, we got another two receiver. We signed him to a big deal. Why y'all mad? But he was never that guy. He was always what he was. He's a poor man's number two, or he's a one-dimensional number two. And so, yeah, but, we've all seen Michael Gallup play. He's a great dude. I wish him well. But the Cowboys didn't do him a service. And then, it took him a minute to come back from the knee thing. And that retarded his progress. Dorrance Armstrong, to me, has always been a heck of a player, a heck of a pick. And I say that in this sense. And I used to talk to Dorrance quite a bit, but you could literally see him improving every year and contributing more and being a good player every year and a better player every year. And I wasn't surprised whatsoever that he got a nice deal in free agency. And the good thing for him is he's going to see all that money.
Yeah.
You got thoughts on Dorrance?
Nah, I hated to see him go, but like you said, you can't pay everybody. And I think right. they got the most out of him while he was here. It wasn't like he got two sacks a year for us and then he go blow up somewhere else. We got a lot of play out of him this year, in his time here.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, he was good and he contributed. So I like him. He was just one of the bevy of pass rushers that they had. Yeah, good player. Never no trouble. None of that stuff. So, yeah, he going to, like you said, he going to see all that money because pass rush is at a premium. And right. He's a guy that don't do a lot. He's not flashy. Plus, he didn't come in as a first-round pick, so a lot of them guys don't get into no – they don't get no problem because they want to make all their money. So, right. That money didn't come right away. I think it's a good – the only bad thing is he signed with them guys in D.C. That's it.
Dalton Schultz. I thought he was a good player.
I think Dak liking to throw to the tight end helped him a lot. And then he took over the job from what was 89's name, who was supposed to be pretty good, that got hurt. I can't remember that guy's name, the tight end before him. And Schultz stepped in, and Dak liked him. A little too much sometimes because sort of hell. Amari catch two balls, Dalton catch eight. What the hell? So he was pretty good. He was good. We didn't really touch on the Wolf Hunter that much. On 55 Vanderess. Vanderess was great in the 4-3.
Right.
He made the Pro Bowl in the 4-3. And the season that Nolan got here, the COVID season, they moved him inside to 3-4. And I think that's where a lot of the injuries started because, you staring at a guard the whole time in 3-4 and you got to plug that thing. And he wasn't able to do that. And I think that's where a lot of his injuries came back. If he'd have stayed in that 4-3, that they had before, I think they would have got a lot more out of him because he wasn't taking on no blocks. He was playing the hero position. He was playing Sean Lee position a lot of time.
Yeah. And run and chase.
Run and chase. And he was good at that. And he was long. He could see everything, and he could tackle. He could play the pass. But when he had to go inside, I thought, that's a mistake right there. But that led to a lot of his injuries coming back because he was getting more contact.
But that's how the league goes, man. Systems matter in what you play in.
Yeah.
Well, they just do.
It seemed like also when he had a lot of high-volume tackle games, 15 tackles, 14 tackles, he had some of those, he'd be out the next game or he'd be limited the next game, especially you come in with a bad neck and a bad shoulder and you long like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. He was good. He had a long neck, too.
Yeah, he was long. Yeah, I thought that was a good pick. You know, he was serviceable, but everything changed up. It's kind of like I mentioned Dak Wynn last. When the Cowboys switched from 4-3 to 3-4, it just killed that. Little Dak Wynn killed his career. He was out of here.
Yeah.
So it happens.
Yeah, he wasn't big enough to take that pound.
Roger that.
Not at all. No, but that's a look at the Cowboys 2018 draft class. They're all gone now. But I thought it was a good draft. Those guys helped. They got a lot of starts out of that class. And let me tell y'all something. They better hope the class of 2024 can get down and play some good football because they're going to need that to fill the holes that they got on the roster.
For real.
So for Big Joe and the Big Rig, we always appreciate Greening Law. We can't do the show without them, nor can we do it without my friends over there at Smokey John's Barbecue, where the Jam Session Bowl is to live for. Remember, you can always follow the show on YouTube at The Real Jacques Talk. Please go over there and subscribe, rate, and leave us a comment. We got some big things coming up in May that we want you all to be a part of. You can find my book, Coach Prime, Deion Sanders and the Making of Men, wherever you find books, at Amazon.com, Walmart.com, BarnesandNoble.com, amongst others. Audible.com, too. It's a great listen. And just remember, until we chat again, you guys be blessed.